Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody has had a good week. We talked a little bit last week about some end time stuff, the rapture of the church, and I got home and, or on the way home actually, Karen told me that she was a little confused and she thought I maybe packed a little too much into that. I don't know if that's a common thought, but I'm going to try to do something today, I hope, maybe to clear up any confusion or any overfeeding I did last week so that you can get a clear understanding. And before we finish this little series, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to give me questions, write out questions, and we'll try to get them answered too. But I was just sitting here thinking, just as we were just singing the doxology, what is the rapture? What is it akin to? And I think it's akin to a game of bingo. You've all played bingo, right? When a number is called in bingo and you put a little dot on your sheet or whatever, the next number that's called, you're a little closer to winning bingo. And the next number that's called, you're a little closer. And after about 30 or 40 numbers, you're right there at the edge. And yeah, of course, you're hoping that you get it before somebody else. But as far as hollering out bingo, every time a number's called, if you don't get bingo, you're that much closer to bingo. And that's kind of what I think the rapture's like. Way back when the church first started, that first generation, many of them thought they were going to experience the rapture. Why? Because they were under such persecution that it felt like what we would describe as end times. And they thought they were living as if the rapture could occur at any moment, at any time. Numbers were being called, though, and their bingo didn't come up, and the next generation's bingo didn't come up. But as we go through the centuries, we are getting closer. And just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean that it couldn't happen at any point now. In fact, quite the opposite. It's much more likely, mathematically, that it could happen any time now. So what I want to try to do is maybe give you a little bit of a visual of why so many numbers in bingo have been called that we don't often think about. We don't realize the numbers that have already been called. And I need a couple of volunteers, and I asked Bob already if he would volunteer, and he said he would. And Bob, if you'll come up here and sit on this stool here, you're just going to be something that helps me people understand what we're going through. And Bob is going to represent a non-believer who was around at the time of the rapture, all right? He just has ignored the gospel, and he's just living his life just like so many people out there, and then one day the rapture occurs. Now, this priceless ruby here that I think was a Christmas decoration, it looks like, this represents the church of Jesus Christ. This is what's going to be raptured, okay? So I'm going to ask you to hold this in your hand, and in a while, I'm going to come and grab it out of your hand, okay? To represent the rapture, okay? And I need one other person. Val, would you be my other volunteer? Okay, you can come sit over here. No, no. You really don't have much to do with it. You're just
that seems to be fine.
Your eye candy for the rest of us here, okay? Okay. Now, Valerie represents the end of the tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ, okay? So we got the rapture and the second coming. Jesus is involved in both of them. This one, he meets us in the air. This one, he comes down on earth. So you represent that, okay? Now, the gap in between here is approximately 7 years. Okay, that's the tribulation. It's not exactly, it's going to, obviously going to be a little bit more than 7 years. We don't know how much more than that, but that's the gap. Now, on the other side of Val, we have another gap. And when we get to the wall over here, this represents heaven. Ultimate end of time. Time stops at this wall, okay? So, there's the players, there's the actors. Now, I'm going to just be passing through time. That's my job, is just to kind of walk you through time. We're going to start way over here on this wall, and this wall represents the time that Jesus was on earth, okay? So I'm going to cover the between the time Jesus was on earth and the time that we come up to the rapture, to Bob. Now, I'm going to start out with Jesus walking around in Jerusalem with his disciples, and they're strolling past the temple. The temple is in the middle of maybe a 60-year rebuilding process. You might remember the Babylonians destroyed the temple. There was, while the people were in exile and they were sent back to Jerusalem, there was a king named Zerubbabel. It's not a name we call out often. But during his so-called reign, God said, let's get this temple rebuilt. So it's called Zerubbabel's temple. Now, for a couple hundred years, this smaller temple, it wasn't near as magnificent as Solomon's temple, of course, was sitting there. And then King Herod came along, and in an attempt to curry favor with the Jews, he said, I'm going to renovate this temple. So then it was called Herod's temple. That's what it's called in the Bible. But it's the same temple as Zerubbabel's temple. It's the second temple. There's three temples mentioned in the Bible: Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel or Herod's temple, and the temple that's going to be rebuilt during the tribulation, okay? So we're on the second temple here. They're walking around, Jesus with his disciples, they're walking around the temple here. It's halfway through, like I say, a 60, 70-year project. It's magnificent. It's already starting to take shape, and the glory of the temple is starting to really show, and everybody's impressed with it. In fact, the disciples are impressed with it, and they say to Jesus, Jesus, take a look at that temple. This is really looking good, isn't it? It's going to be magnificent. And Jesus just kind of looks at the temple, and he kind of shakes his head, and he said, I got to tell you something. You're probably not going to want to hear this, but there's not going to be one stone left on top of another stone in that temple, that second temple. It's not going to last. Well, when he said this, this kind of really rattled the disciples. Well, they made their way on up to the Mount of Olives. They sat down on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus started what was known in what we call the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24 in your Bible. It started out this way. One of the disciples said, Jesus, when we were just in town and you said that the temple was going to be torn down, when is that going to happen? And then he asked two other questions. When is the temple going to be destroyed? You've talked about coming back a second time. That's Valerie's position, Jesus. You've talked about coming back a second time. When is that going to happen? And the third question they asked him is, what are the signs of the end of the age from Valerie on? So there's three questions they asked Jesus. When's the temple going to be destroyed? What are going to be the signs of your second coming? What are going to be signs of the end of the age? All throughout Matthew chapter 24, Jesus answers these three questions. Now, he answers them not in the order that they were asked. They're kind of like mixed around. So when you read it, it sounds kind of confusing unless you're looking in your mind's eye to which question is he answering as he goes through Matthew chapter 24. So what I'm going to do is give you the answer to the second question that Jesus said in Matthew 24, which is, when's your second coming? Because if you're over here and you're looking for Jesus' second coming, he's going to tell you some things that are going to happen before you get there. Now, as I'm walking towards listening to, seeing the things come about that Jesus says, not only am I walking towards Valerie, I'm walking towards Bob. The thing about Bob is there's no clue in Scripture as to when the rapture is going to occur. It could occur at any time. But we do know this, the closer I get to Valerie, the closer I get to Bob too. I can't get to her without going past him. So the rapture is going to occur. It's going to be a surprise event. But even though the actual time that the church is taken up will be a surprise, the fact that we're getting closer and closer tells us that we're in the season when it could happen. We as Christians should be looking towards this event. Yes, we're going to be surprised when it actually happens, but we should be expecting it, all right? And as I get closer and closer to Val, and therefore closer and closer to Bob, we should be expecting it more and more. So what we're going to look at is, what are the three things that Jesus said we're going to start the end times? In other, he says, when these three things happen, you are going to be heading quickly towards the end times. So, before he says the three things, he gives us a pre-answer to the question. Meaning, this is clicking. Is this coming through okay? Or is it just because I'm moving around maybe? Maybe it's this pen in my pocket. Anyway, Jesus first gives a pre-answer. What do you mean by a pre-answer? He says, this is something that has nothing to do with the end times. In other words, he's saying, don't let people fool you. That thing that he said has nothing to do with the end times is, he says, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. He said, that has nothing to do with our journey over here towards Val. He says, these things happen all the time. Don't be deceived. If somebody says, oh, there's a war between this country and that country, he says, it has nothing to do with it. Then he says the three things. One of the things he says is, there's going to be, when we get near the end times, when I get close to Val over here, there's going to be a significant increase in earthquakes. Now, that's interesting. Earthquakes, back in Jesus' time, if you think about it, just use your mind, you only know about the earthquake that happens in your area, right? If you're in Israel, an earthquake happens in China, not only do you not know about it, you'll never hear about it. So there's no recorded worldwide earthquakes for a long time, right? So for Jesus to say there's going to be a tremendous increase in earthquakes implies there's going to be communication around the world to even register the increase of earthquakes, right? Okay, so we started measuring earthquakes worldwide somewhere around the 14th century. Now, for the first 1,000 years after Jesus left, there were only 5 recorded earthquakes worldwide. Now, that doesn't mean there were only 5. There was obviously more than 5. But because of distance and the historical reasoning for keeping track of them, there was only 5 for the first 1,000 years. Now, from there, so that takes us here from Jesus' time. Now we've already covered half the distance between me and Valerie. 5 recorded earthquakes. Then we're going to go up to the 14th century, so I'll get a little bit closer here. That was when they first started actually keeping track of records. There was 157 major earthquakes in the 14th century. 15th century, 174. 16th century, 253. I'm getting closer and I'm getting closer. Earthquakes are starting to go up. 17th century, 278. Then in the 18th century, the numbers, which up to this point in time had been gradually increasing, triple. 640 in the 18th century. 19th century, they triple again. 2,119 earthquakes recorded in the 19th century. 20th century, we just finished the 20th century. We went from 2,119 earthquakes to 900,000 earthquakes in the last 100 years. Now, do you know how many earthquakes are happening now? Now that we're in the 21st century. On average, there is an earthquake every hour somewhere around the world right now. So I don't have a calculator. If you multiply 1 hour times 24 hours times 365, that'll tell you just how many earthquakes are going to happen approximately in this year. But you see the increase. Jesus said, when we get close to the end times, there's going to be an increase in earthquakes. What was the other thing he said is going to be an increase in? Famines. Now, since you saw the big speed up when we hit the 19th, right around the end of the 19th century, same thing's happening with famines. Because of the increase of the world population, and the taxing on the environment and crops and things like that, it doesn't take much of a disaster now to cause a severe famine, more so than back then. Back then, if you had a famine in Israel, you moved to Egypt. You went somewhere else. You could, but now there's people everywhere. And we've all seen the commercials with Sally Struthers on it, with the poor little children with the swollen bellies and pleading for help and aid because of famines here and there. Famines are on the increase now, much more so than they've ever been. The third thing that Jesus said, not wars and rumors of wars, but when he said, when nations rise against nations. We talked about this fairly recently. Talking about world wars. When all of the nations rise up against all of the nations, he said, look out. Get ready for the speed up. That's when the pedal is going to go to the metal and things are going to happen so fast you won't be able to keep track of it. So what happened in 1917? We had World War I. 1943, we started World War II. So, which was just basically a continuation of World War I. So the three things that Jesus said are the kickstarters to the end times, to getting to over there where Val has said, all started happening somewhere around 1900 is when things looked like they really started kickstarting. So for the first 19 centuries, people who were looking for the rapture, looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, which they should have been doing, they didn't have these three signs at their fulfilled, right? There were no world wars. There were no increase in earthquakes or famines. We, however, are looking at it with these facts behind us. So it just makes it that much more likely. Now, those are the three things that Jesus said. There's another, I think, if my numbers are right, another 12 things that have to happen before we get there. It's not that Jesus didn't say them, but the Bible says them. Other 12 things that have to happen. So I'm going to look at a few of those these things, and you'll see how we're getting closer and closer. The next thing that one of the next things that has to happen is Israel, as a country, has to return to her land. Now, when the Bible was written, and all during these first 19 centuries, Israel was not in her land. Israel was scattered all over the world. You remember the Romans when they destroyed the temple again, AD 70, they dispersed the Jews all over the world. The Jews have stayed dispersed all over the world. Until when? Well, that's the country. But until the year 1900, there was a movement that was started called the Zionist movement. And it was a spiritual movement with no leader, where Jews who had been scattered all over the world for 19 centuries suddenly decided, let's go back to Israel. Nobody could figure out why. There was articles written in magazines. Why are all the Jews coming back to Israel? Nobody knew. It was the Spirit of God bringing the Jews back to Israel. This is something that has to happen before Jesus comes again. The Jews have to be back in their land. That's we'll call that number four, step number four. Number five, they have to have a nation to come back to. They came back to the land, but it wasn't their land. And we know, as Bob just said, in 1948, the United Nations said it's time for Israel to have their own land, have their own nation. And they were brought back to the nation, formed as a nation. But that's still not enough, because something else had to happen. They had to have control of Jerusalem. I don't know if you know this, but in 1948, when they came back as a nation, they still didn't have control of Jerusalem. That was under Palestinian control. And then in 1967, we had the Six-Day War, where Egypt, Jordan, and I think Syria, I can't remember the country, they decided to attack Israel. In the process of doing that, they just wanted to annihilate them. In the process of doing that, Israel won the war, and they retook the city of Jerusalem. So what happens in 1967? We get another little step closer, because now Jerusalem is under the control of Israel, except for one little section of Jerusalem. A little, I don't know, I'm going to say 5-acre plot. It's called the Temple Mount. That for some reason, when the Jews took over Jerusalem, they could have taken over the Temple Mount. In fact, the warriors during that time, they had explosives planted all around the Dome of the Rock. You've seen the Golden Dome of the Rock? That thing was ringed with explosives, and they were ready to push the dynamite plunger down and blow it up when their leader says, no, don't do it. We can't do that. They didn't do it, and for some reason, they allowed the Palestinians to maintain control of the Temple Mount. That's why when you go over there today to Israel, you don't automatically have the right to go up there. They still control that. Now, there is kind of like a co-management, and they have political ways they're allowed to, the Jews are allowed to go up there and all that kind of stuff. But the reason it's important that they get control of this mound is that's where they're going to build the temple, which is the next thing that has to happen before Jesus comes back. How do we know this? We know this because Daniel says, Daniel chapter 9, it says this. In the middle of the seven, that's right here in the middle of the seven, the Antichrist will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. Where's the sacrifice and offering taking place? In the temple. So we know that the temple has to be built so that the sacrifice stop in the middle before Jesus comes. So, and then it goes on to say that, you know, the things that are going to happen in the second half of the tribulation. But the point is, the temple has to be built before Jesus comes again. It's not built yet, but that doesn't mean that the rapture can't occur. That doesn't mean that Jesus can't come, take this church up, and then all of a sudden, the tribulation begins. Now, all of these things, as they happen, we get closer to the second coming, we get closer to the rapture. I believe we're really, really, really close right now to the rapture. I am going to read you what I think will be the news broadcast on TV, which occurs the day the rapture's taken up. Poor Bob here is left behind. But over time, he's going to realize that Jesus did come to save him, and he's going to remember what his parents told him, what his friends told him about the Lord. He's going to turn to the Lord, but he's going to have to undergo, through the next 7 years, a really tough time. Here's what Bob's going to hear on the newscast. Local TV stations from around the world reported bizarre occurrences, especially in time zones where the event happened during the day or early evening. CNN showed via satellite the video of a groom disappearing while slipping the ring onto his bride's finger. A funeral home in Australia reported that nearly every mourner disappeared from one memorial service, including the corpse. While at another service at the same time, only a few disappeared and the corpse remained. Morgues also reported corpses disappearing. At a burial, three of six pallbearers stumbled and dropped a casket when the other three disappeared. They must have all been on the one side. When they picked up the casket, it too was empty. Over 400 planes have crashed and up to 150,000 car crashes in the U.S. alone. All major utilities have shut down, and rioting and looting is widespread. Experts cannot explain this phenomenon. But the most likely explanation is, what do you think?
Extraterrestrial.
Bob said it, I think. Extraterrestrial. Alien abduction. Now you laugh. Think about this. All the Christians are gone. So we can't say it was the rapture of the church. The only people that are left are people who don't believe it anyway or had never even heard of it. So they're not thinking rapture. What are they thinking? Extraterrestrial, alien abduction. What are all the movies about these days? Some kind of alien abduction, ET, and on it goes. Is there life out there? You know what the SETI program is, S-E-T-I? It's a government-funded outreach into the space to send signals to try to hear back from whoever's out there. So this is all being set up. I believe that's what it's going to be considered, is an alien abduction. All the Hollywood is helping out in this area by creating fantasy movies where we see it happening, and that's the way their brains are going to think. Now, last sentence. I forgot to read this. This event was all preceded with a loud trumpet blast heard around the world. Talked about that last week. Something I thought about last week. I'm getting ready to close this down. What is the purpose of the trumpet blast? Ever think about that? I mean, it says very clearly, it's a big trumpet blast going to be heard. What is the purpose of the trumpet blast? I thought, well, obviously, it's like ringing the dinner bell when it's time to eat. You know, it's announcing the rapture. But it also says that the rapture is instantaneous, in the twinkling of an eye, instant disappearance. So if you have, boom, disappeared, what's the purpose of the trumpet? We don't need the trumpet to be raptured. We're just going to be instantly taken up. So what is the purpose of the rapture? Well, it could just be something that the Bible says is going to happen, and it's going to happen for whatever reason. But I think the purpose of the trumpet is to announce to the people who are left behind, and I forgot to introduce Val as a Jewish person, okay? Oh. Val's a Jew. So she's over here too at the same time. She hears the trumpet blast, and then she goes to her Bible, and she realizes that the trumpet was used in the Old Testament to call the Jews together. First time it was blasted was at Mount Sinai, right? The trumpet was blasted. All the Jews came to the base of Mount Sinai, and God began the significant, important event of introducing himself to the Jewish people. I think the purpose of the trumpet blast is for a second time for God to begin the significant, important timing of introducing himself to his Jewish people again. Now, I'm going to stop there. I would love to keep going, but I've got something else I want to do. I'm going to pick up right here next time that we do it, because we still have to go through the tribulation, and then we still have a millennium behind Val, and we still have what's going to go on between this Gentile who becomes a believer and this Jewish person who becomes a believer. So that's all still to come. Come back for that. Thank you. Eventually, yes, they're going to live happily. In fact, I predict they get married. So, thank you, guys. Now, the reason I'm stopping now is I'm giving you some head knowledge. I'm trying to make it as easy to remember as possible. However, if I give you some good head knowledge and you understand it, and it doesn't make that 18-inch voyage to your heart, it doesn't mean anything. So what I want to close with is I'm going to try to reach your heart. You got it in your head now. You understand it. You saw a little picture of it, even though we still have some to go. But I want you to think about, what is it going to be like when we are actually taken up to heaven? We're going to be with the Lord. We need to think about, we need to imagine that in our minds, because it's going to happen. Wouldn't it be nice to really meditate and think about that so that when it does happen, we have something to compare it to? I wondered if this was going to be less way. Instead of, wow, this is a surprise. I never thought this was going to happen. No, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been wondering what Jesus looks like. I've been wondering, what age is my grandfather going to appear to me? These kind of things. It's good to think these things through and think about the rapture and think about what's going to happen, because it gets our eyes focused on heaven. So that's a heart journey. That's not a head journey. So what I've asked Dave to do is play a song that I've heard it many times, but I heard it this past week, and I thought that would be a really good song to play to try to get the vision in your heart of the rapture, now that it's in your head. So as you hear this song, it's a real simple song, but it's written about a guy who had a dream about going to heaven. And the things that he saw, his friends that he saw, that the Old Testament characters that he saw. I want you to try to imagine as you hear this song, this is you. This, think about your relatives, who your loved ones, think about that. Get your heart geared up for the rapture. That's the purpose. So just close your eyes, imagine it, let your imagination run wild. As you hear, you can go ahead and start it, Dave. As you hear this picture of heaven.
Then as I enter the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They took me down the street.
World. We'll leave that to Bob up here and all the people that are left behind. We've got a wonderful future ahead of us, no matter how bad things get here. So I wanted to close with that. I wanted you just to get a feel for it, because it's not just about your head, it's about your heart. So we're going to let that serve as our closing hymn. And I want to close this in prayer, and then we'll have our fellowship circle. Father, we thank you for, once again, this time where we get to gather together in fellowship with such close friends, Lord, and we get to open your word, and we get to look into the future and the things that you told us would happen And we've covered so many things today that you've told us what happened and have already happened since you wrote it down in your word. And we know that your word is dependable because of the promises that have already been kept. And Lord, you've told us some other things that are going to happen that we're going to cover next time. But we know those two will happen. And we know that you told us, Lord, you're coming back to get us. And that's a promise I can't wait to happen. I can't wait to see your face. So just give us hope no matter what we face throughout this week, and this next month, and anything that comes up in these troubled times. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.